Isn't God good? Have you been in His presence yet? You know, whether you feel anything or not, you're in His presence. And He's always here, anointing. And, you know, it's kind of hard when you're coming up to speak and they say all this stuff about you before you get up here. But I want to read to you from the Word of God what He showed me about myself back in the 80s. So, you know, it's good to find yourself in the Scripture. The Scripture will speak to you and say, hey, that's me, that's my purpose, that's why I'm here. And this Scripture that I'm going to read to you, Jesus read for Himself. And we know that originally it was meant for Him. But anybody who's been born again qualifies for this. So I'm reading from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now that's where Jesus stopped. But when He was giving this to me, He didn't stop there. He kept on going and said, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So you see, every one of us has an anointing for something. If we are born again, Spirit-filled, well, God has got something for you. And we're not here by ourselves. We are to touch other people. And so if you hook up your faith with my faith as we hear the Word of God today, you will be blessed. Amen? Now I know you're all there with me, right?
Amen.
And anyone that's heard me speak, you know I like to hear back from you. Amen? Amen. I didn't come to a dead church. Well, I'm going to pull this up here because you want to help me get this over this here. Thank you. We're just going to lift it up over that. I hope it doesn't mess up the speaker right here. Right here. Thank you. Hey, see? Got help already. Now, you're not going to get the full benefit of this for a little while. You're most probably wondering, what in the world is she doing? But I'm just getting prepared. I couldn't have this ahead of time. Okay? Oh, got to clean this off a little bit. There. That's what we'll start with. Well, I'll put this out here too. It'll come eventually. Okay. You ready? That should give you a little clue what we're talking about. So anyway, we're talking about light today. Light, where does it come from? And what is its purpose? Well, we could all give a natural explanation of this, I'm sure. If you've been to school, you know, they always give you a scientific approach from everything. We've been taught that light comes from our sun. It reflects onto the moon, which shines on us. All of it shines and gives us light on the earth, right? It lets us see things. It keeps us warm. If you don't get out in the sunlight, you're going to have to take some vitamin D. That's from my medical side of view. But I don't think you came here just to hear another lesson that you can get from the world, right?
Absolutely.
So there's a little bit more to light than what the world knows about. And we're going to talk about that. So where does light come from? And what is its purpose? So glad you asked. Praise God. Well, in order to find out where light comes from, we have to go back to the beginning, don't we? So turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. So as usual, I put you through a lot of scriptures because the scriptures is where it's at. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Doesn't matter what I say, what does the word say, and does it speak to your heart? Does it make something jump up and is click with you and say, huh, okay. Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And guess what?
There was light.
There was light. You can answer me, you know. I got one here that you can answer anytime you like, okay? Okay, so God spoke, right? His words produced light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. You know what? There's no sun and moon and stars yet. That's not what light is. God spoke and light was. There was only darkness before that. So God spoke the word, and his creative power that was in his word brought forth light. So the sun and moon and stars weren't even made until the fourth day. The second day, he made the firmament, which was an expanse of space. And then he divided that with water above and water beneath. Oh, okay. Well, you know, the creation is an awesome thing to study. Because God doesn't think like man. He did not make things in the way that man would think. That things came about. But he tells you what happened if you will just have faith and believe what he says. So if we jump down to verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And so it was. Then God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, which we know is the sun. And the lesser light to rule the night, which we know is the moon. And then he also made all the stars. All of this happening. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Notice that he set them there. God just took the sun and put it here, took the moon, put it here, took the stars, put them all here. It was no big bang and everything just go psh. Or you could say, God spoke and bang, it all happened. I love that one. But anyway, God set them in. In fact, everything was so precisely done that it's still working today. And God set them in the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. That all happened the fourth day. So the sun and the moon is not our light. It will do the things that scientifically they say because God made it that way. Amen? And then we know that man didn't come around until the sixth day. So let's go down to the 26th and 27th verse of chapter 1 still. So God created man. Actually, let's go back up here to 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." He's talking to somebody. "According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So when God created man and woman, they were both equal in dominion. You see that? They were both supposed to rule over everything else on the earth. Man is not equal to animal. Man is made in the image of God. And God formed man. He formed him in God's image. Now, there's not one animal on this earth that is created in the likeness of God. Not only that, he breathed into Adam and Eve the breath of life. They had God's breath in them. That breath went into their spirit, made their spirit alive, and that spirit then made their body alive. Amen? Okay. So, we're going to jump over to the New Testament some, but I want you to kind of keep your finger here. We'll come back. Or you can put a piece of paper there. But turn to John, the first chapter. Now there in Genesis, we saw there was God and there was the Holy Spirit hovering. So we know there's at least two that are named God. Well, in Mark, the first chapter, we get a little more information. In the beginning was the Word. Remember, God spoke the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He, that's a person, right? He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, there comes that light. It gives life and light. Amen? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness could not overcome the light. You know, we've had that example how many times here? You turn off the light, and it's all dark. And what happens when you turn on the switch? Light flees. It disappears. So no matter how big your light is, the darkness that's around it has to flee. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. So, darkness cannot ever overtake the light. Now you can try to, like a candle, you can put something over it so you can't see the light. But the light itself, you darkness just coming in cannot take it away. Hallelujah. So we see that God is also light in these few verses here. This light, and we see the third person of the Trinity. Some people say, well, where's the Trinity? This shows you Trinity right here, because here's the third part of the Trinity. And that him, that he that they're talking about is Jesus, right? We know that Jesus was the Word. And everything in this Bible here is the Word. This Word here shows you Jesus. And if you're born again, it'll show you yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. So, just another one to prove that God is light. Turn over to Revelation 21. In the 23rd verse. And it's talking about in heaven, the New Jerusalem. Oh, just can't wait to get there, right? How many of us don't say, oh Lord, please come quickly. We want to be there. Well, in this New Jerusalem, the city, verse 23, had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. You see, here we have light. We're learning about light. So God is light. When he spoke, light came into existence. Now let's go back to Genesis again. We want to read a little bit more about Adam and Eve there. In Genesis 2:25, this is before the fall, it says there that they were both naked and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Do you know that before the fall there was no shame? God did not create shame. Shame came about when man sinned and fell. But there was no shame. They didn't need clothing. And the reason was, I believe, and I think the scriptures prove this, as we go along you'll see it, they were covered in the glory of the Lord and in light. Remember, God breathed into them. They became a living spirit. And I believe that the light of God entered into them. That glory and that light just covered them everywhere they went. It was like they were like God. They were created in God's image. God's image has light. So they had to be filled with light. And as they went along, you know, all the... What happens when you have a light? Everything's attracted to it, comes to it. How did all those animals come to Adam to be named? Well, I think if you saw a bright light, you'd come too, and let's see, what is this? But anyway, that's here nor there. You know, I like to speculate sometimes. We can find out from God when we get there. But anyway, it was when they sinned. Remember, God said in the day that you eat of that fruit, you will die. And so their spirit man died. I believe that light, that glory was extinguished when they died. Then all they could see was their physical body. All of a sudden, they could see that we're naked. So what'd they do? They tried to put some leaves together, and well, God didn't think that was good enough. So he created clothing for them. But shame entered because they were naked. And all of a sudden, they were afraid of God. They ran and hid. They no longer had confidence towards God. So their sin and their fear separated them from God. They had a choice. God made a choice for them. And what did they do? They chose to listen to Satan. And so therefore they fell. But guess what? God had another choice for them. He created another choice. He loved them so much. He says, I created them to have fellowship with them. I want them. And so therefore, he gives them another choice. He creates them so that he gives them this choice so that they can come back to him. They can have fellowship with him. So if we see what he spoke to Adam and Eve in the third chapter, at this, if we look at the 15th verse, now here we, I'm sure all of us know, the serpent came and deceived Eve, and they fell. So now God spoke to Adam and Eve, and then he turned and he spoke to the serpent, who was representing Satan. And he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So Satan was now going to have seed. In other words, he's got children. Everyone who was not of God was born into Satan's family now, into the kingdom of darkness. Satan became the father of darkness. And so he said, he was talking to him, your seed and her seed. And that's a capital S if you're looking there. That's one seed he was talking about, which was Jesus. He was prophesying that Jesus was going to come. And he was going to take the authority away from Satan. Because bruise your head, that's representing authority. The head of something is the authority. And Satan bruising his heel was representing what he would do to Jesus' body when Jesus came on the earth. So, God was also speaking of the fact that Jesus would then be the head of a new kingdom. Jesus would have seed that would follow after him. Praise the Lord. So as we go along in time, we see that God really wanted a people of his own. And so he had the children of Israel through Abraham, and he made a covenant with them. He wanted a people that he could fellowship, that would follow him. The whole world would know these are God's people. They are blessed beyond anything else. They, you know, you go to battle against them and watch out because God's on their side. So God wanted to let the world know, I have a people that will follow after me. But we know that man continued to sin. It just keeps going that way. So I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be there for a little while. If I can find it. All right. You there? 2 Corinthians, we're going to go to chapter 3. And we're going to be reading 7 and 8, but I think we'll start there at 6. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he wrote and said, "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." What he was saying there is that it was the letter of the law, the Ten Commandments, that was given to the children of Israel. And it was given so they could see what it meant to be living a holy life and following after God. But it was also meant to show man that they needed a Savior, because you just could not. You couldn't keep it. No matter how hard you tried, you still ended up every year having to go make a sacrifice because somewhere you missed it. So verse 7, it starts here. "But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious?" So even though the Old Covenant was here called a ministry of death, it was still glorious. It came from the voice of God. God was the one that created this. So it was glorious. So when Moses was in the presence of God and was given the Ten Commandments, there was so much glory and light on him when he came down to the children of Israel. They couldn't stand it. They said, "Cover your face. We can't look at you." And you can read about this in Exodus, the 34th chapter, 28 through 35. But that light that was on Moses did not come from within him. It was just reflecting the glory and the presence of God, since he was in their presence. So let's keep reading here. "How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious than this? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in the glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels." So there was no way to compare the glory between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But what he's saying is, for if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. What we have today is so much more glorious. The other was still good. It was glorious. But it has no comparison to with what God has for us today. Aren't we living in an awesome time when we can enjoy these privileges? We live so far below our privileges because we don't know what we have. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, The veil is taken away. You want to know God? You can't know him if you don't come through Jesus. You can try every religion in the world and you will never know God. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Are you walking in liberty? If we have the Spirit of God, we have liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So if you've been born again, you're to look in here and see yourself. You're going to see a reflection of Jesus when you look in here. That's who you are. That's why you can say, I'm anointed. I have got the message. I'm supposed to finish God's work. Jesus said, you go and finish the work that I started. Right? That's basically what he said. He said, I'm not here, now you go do it. I give you the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen? Yes. Oh, hallelujah. I might just get happy and stay right here. I hope you're getting it. Oh, yeah, it's glorious. So anyone that is reading the word and they have not been born again, they cannot understand it. They can reason it out and they can logically come up with some conclusions, but it will never, never be explained to you unless you look at it through the eyes of the Lord. Amen? And we are transformed. With Jesus, we're transformed from glory to glory. In other words, we may start out as a little light. I think I'll light this thing here. We might start out as a little light. Well, I'll get it. Ah, see, it works. I think I'm getting too short. Come on. You burned before. There. We got a light. Okay. Now when you light this candle, as long as there's fuel there, it just keeps burning, doesn't it? This one here, I guess we could light it. We'll see. This one here, you depends on how much you turn it up. As far as how much flame you got, right? So this little light, we got to turn it down. So if we turn it way down, we just have a little light. And if we want more, we give a little more fuel, turn it up, right? Just keep that in mind. That's a little ahead of myself. Okay, I hope there's nothing that's going to, like, pour down water on us. I think we got enough space, don't we? Just liven us up here. Okay. Oh, God. Okay, so we're transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why we can then begin to comprehend the things of God. God sheds his light onto the Word. And Spirit, his Spirit, to our spirit, we have become alive unto God. We have become a son of God. In the spirit realm, we are seen as light. In the spirit realm, you are a light. You know, this little light of mine. Remember? Every kid, well, used to be, learned that song. Jesus took our shame on the cross. I wanted to throw that in because I talked about shame before. But Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he was stripped down to nothing. He hung there for everyone to see him and nakedness. Well, I'll just turn you out for now. Okay, so as he hung there in nakedness, he took shame upon him. He bore that shame so that we did not need to bear shame. Anyone that's carrying around shame, that has not become a reality to them in Christ, if they're a Christian. Jesus took that. And you say, oh, I did this awful thing, and I know God forgave me, but I have a hard time forgiving myself, and you carry the shame of it. What does it do? It just prevents you from moving forward and being the witness that God has for you to be. Because you are no longer that person. God's taken that shame away. And you say, well, I messed up even as a Christian. Well, he said, if we come and repent, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? So he takes that shame. So turn to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Oops, I'm not quite there. So the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. So when we become saved, God's light is infused into us and we become a light. So we are a light. So what is the purpose of this light then? I think we've established where light comes from and that it's in us, right? Okay, so if you see the latter part of verse 27, it says this light, it searches all the inner depths of his heart. God uses this light that is within you to show you things. It searches within your heart. In other words, there's things there that maybe needs to be gotten rid of. It's like there's a whole lot of little rooms in your heart. Are you shutting the door to some of them and not letting the light in? Is it behaving itself? So, I'm going to give you several words that I feel like is the purpose of light. First one is searching. It searches our hearts. Since he is a spirit, he's the light, he communicates with our spirit. Both of them are lights. And we can allow the Holy Spirit to help clean out our hearts. Is this bothering you guys? I can turn it, blow it out. Now we'll have more smoke. Okay. So if we ask the Holy Spirit to help clean out the junk, we become more and more like him from glory to glory. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Guidance is the word I want to choose for this. If we follow Jesus, we'll have guidance to know where to go. That light produces life, and darkness produces death. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So understanding. Light is searching, it's guiding, it gives understanding. Then I want us to turn to Matthew 5. There you go, Matthew 5, and we're going to start at verse 14 there. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So your light is going to guide others, right? They see your light and they can see a way to God because your light's connected with God's light. Then turn to John, the first chapter again. There's some interesting things in here. Now, we read the first part about Jesus being the Word, and in him was life, and life was the light of men. Then it starts talking about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world, he was made in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. They did not know that this was the light that came. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. His own people, the ones that God had selected and said, these are my people. They didn't recognize the one that God sent to them. But as many as did receive him, then to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So light, God's light, coming upon us, it gives us the right to be a child of God. In other words, we become a child of the light, children of light, right? Verse Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness." We were dark without God, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Amen? Amen? Ephesians 5 is a very good chapter to read because it tells you how to live some of this life. The whole book of Ephesians is good, but in this, it shows that you're going to stand out. You're going to stand out. That's one of the things that a light does. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Get over here. But you are a chosen generation. We're Jesus' inheritance. Amen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. We are now his special people. You are special to God, every one of you, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. When you become a child of God, you now have mercy. God has stretched out his hand of mercy to you. You no longer have to pay the penalty for death, for sin. because Jesus took it upon himself. Jesus gave himself so that we didn't have to do that. So our purpose is to proclaim the praises of God, and we're to be that lighthouse. Like it or not, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you are a light. I say like it or not because there's some people that want to like hide in the closet. You've heard of closet Christians? I don't know about that. You'll not be ashamed of the gospel if you are truly born again, if you know what Jesus did for you. And you are going to attract attention in the spirit realm. And you should obtain attention in the natural realm as well. I just want to touch on this fact that, you know, when Jesus was here on earth, that the demons knew who he was. And I believe it's because he was the only person on this earth who was filled with light. And everywhere he went in the spirit realm, they could see him. This is the one. This is the one. Well, think how confused they are now. There's all these little lights out there. Praise God. So we come down to, what are we doing with our light? Are we sitting on a candlestick and shining bright so people can see us? I could go a lot more into this, but I'm not going to. But my other thing is, are we going to be a light that when the light shines, it's very hard for anybody to see anything through it because the globe has gotten dirty? But, you know, part of this is, it says we have, in 2 Corinthians, it says we have this treasure that is in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not in us. If you look closely at any individual, you can find something wrong. So what do you choose to look at? At the wrong that you see? Or at the light that's shining? And you know, we can allow the Spirit of God to clean us up. Clean this globe all up. And we can brighten our light by having fellowship with other believers and fellowship with God. That's what causes our lights to shine. Just think right now, all of us together here with our lights shining, what a bright light is in here in the spirit realm. Unfortunately, now we don't get to see it like when Adam and Eve were out here. But in the spirit realm, believe you me, they see us. So let's sustain our candle and our lamp with fuel. Now, Satan can huff and puff, but guess what? He can't blow out our candle. Because we have an eternal flame that burns always. It's only if we decide to walk away and say, forget you, God, that we could extinguish it. But otherwise, nothing can separate us from the love of God that he has shed abroad in our heart. So I just wanted you to realize where light comes from and that it's in you. And he wants us to shine. He wants us to be a light to the world. Because why? He wants others to come unto him. He created us to have fellowship with us. And unless we come through Jesus Christ, then we have no fellowship with God. We can't. God Himself is living inside of us. God Himself will work through us if we allow Him to. As we speak, His words are being spoken. If we use what we have learned from the Word and we live our lives according to this Word, then we're going to see a harvest. Amen? We're going to have a harvest coming in here. Amen? All we have to do is keep turning our flame up, keep adding the fuel, keep walking the walk, and the rest God will take care of. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.